as well, they're setting up. Just to apologize, because I asked, I hope the staff member has given you a forewarning that we'll start in the morning but with a closed session, so that you would not be able to. So I apologize if I was not communicated in time. It was absolutely necessary for us as a community to have discussions without anyone else in the room. I note that we have entities that we've not interacted with as this committee. Maybe let me start. My name is Mamulu Okubai. I'm the chairperson of the Follow Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services. We have members of Parliament who are here with us. And then with the entities that are reporting, we'll give you an opportunity to introduce the team once your time for presentation comes. We'll obviously start with the board chairperson, who would introduce himself and our other members, or indicate the delegation and our members to, or part of the delegation to introduce themselves. Can I ask members of parliament to introduce themselves so that when we start the process, they're able to.
I'm Nokuzwa Ndongeni, present in Telecommunications Committee. Did you?
Dumela, lina tata ke Mapule Maphosa, ke member ya committee.
Lebitso Jesse, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Indwe Masego, member of the committee, a member of the Operational Committee.
Good morning, my name is Marion Shum.
Karen Kinsey.
I'm Tiago Mazel, the MP.
Okay. Can I ask the chairperson of the board of the DNA to introduce themselves together with the delegation while they're shooting up their presentation?
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Hashmund Gadja, the Chair of the Dotswede Domain Name Authority. My colleagues that are accompanying us today, starting on my left, is I'll get them to introduce themselves.
Sorry, sir. Lucky Matilela, board member of Dozede DNA. I'm Wim Rowland, member of the board, and I will bring with me the emphasis on disability. Thank you.
Mark Silva.
I'm the Lambdishan, the chief executive of Zed.
Thank you very much. Shall I allow the DG and the team, because we're never going to do presentations, so that we allow you, as you are sitting with us, to be introduced as well.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm Rosie, like I said, the DG of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Service.
Thank you, Honourable Members. My name is Job Joacha. I'm the Special Advisor to the Minister.
My name is Kim Tyler from the Department of Social Education and Postal as well.
Members. My name is Mike Njigila from the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Service.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Lasia Koza from the Ministry of Telecommunications.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are we ready? Not yet. We seem to be saved by the technology. At least compatibility. Can I request that we start? Member had received the presentation. Mr. CEO, first time as CEO. Congratulations. It's not her time to congratulate you on your appointment. And wish you all the best. I know you've been recently appointed. I wanted to say you can start with other presentations with us while the gentleman next to you try and sort out the technology. I don't know if you've got a hard copy. Because it looks like it's effective. Just to extend, we had a closed meeting earlier on, so all the things had to be shut down when we have a closed meeting. Nothing must be broadcasted nor produced even an audio from the room. So that's why I can see the water here. Oh! Now it shows me what. Yeah? You send the bill. No, it's improving. You see, that's oversight. We are now overseeing that department. And literally, can the telecom is understood. Then you've got to give it, even on the presentation. Let me just give over to, I don't know if the chair you want to do opening remarks. And then, in that process of not coming, you can head over to Mr. Mbisani to take the presentation.
Thank you for that, Madam Chair. Our CEO, Mr. Vipin Pasani, will take us through almost the entire presentation. We are here to assist in fielding any questions or clarity that people may need. So we want to also table our gratitude to the Portfolio Committee in the invitation we've received. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good morning to all the honourable members of Parliament and all our delegates. Apologies for the sort of kind of connectivity problems we've had here with the engineering to connect properly with the project. I want to make a presentation that's an overview really of what ZNAC does and what current work we are doing and what challenges and opportunities we see as we go along. Without a waste of time, we are an entity that is in an industry that works with a lot of obligations, and we thought let us just cover those as we normally do at the beginning, so that if and when I refer to those obligations, maybe you'll make an idea of what is it we are talking about. ZNA obviously is ourselves, the Tertiary Dominium Authority, and then we are part of what you would call a dominion system, which we abbreviate as DNS. CCTL is a country code for a specific country, but Tertiary is for South Africa. And we also have what is called a generic top-level domain. These are internet namespaces that end with a generic names that do not belong to specific country, like .com, .org, and .net. We may, from time to time, refer to ICANN for its role that it plays in simply coordinating the internet resources. And also we refer to what you call second-level domains, which refers to your CO.ZA, your gov.ZA, and so forth. We refer to registries, registrars, and registrants as well, because that's what our mandate centers around. It's important just to make the distinctions that we have certain levels like gov.za and so.za and so forth. The entities that operate those second level domain databases are called registries or registrar. In terms of the act, they're supposed to license that to operate the second level domain registries. We also have registrars. These are your typical internet service providers, or ISPs we abbreviate them. They are not operating the second level domains, but they register names in the second level domains for their clients. So if you maybe make mention of entities like your telecom, internet solutions, MWeb, and so forth. And in terms of the act as well, we have a regulatory oversight over them. And then also we have what is called a registrant. A registrant is simply any person who holds a domain name in .za or owns a domain name in .za. We also refer to resellers, which are the ISPs, not licensed to accredited, but they work through the licensed to accredited ones. The second level domains, or the SLDs as we refer to them, that form part of the .jd namespace are listed on the screen. Especially we distinguish between what we call active second level domains and dormant domains. The active ones are the ones that are working, that if you are eligible to register names in a second level domain, you can do so even now as I speak. Those are the ones that we listed there, your HZA, A2ZA, and so forth. And you then have what is called dormant domains. These are the domains that are still there. They have a number of registrations in them, but they've not been accepting new registrations. And then you have what is called private domains, like upgrade.za and so forth. It's important to mention, Madam Chair, that we were formed in 2004 following the establishment of the appointment of the first board in late 2003. And when we assumed our responsibility in terms of the act, all the second level domains are there. We've never added anything. It's what we inherited. And it's what we've had to sort of clarify and sometimes clear up. There's more information in terms of active domains, that there are some of those that are highlighted in blue. Those are typically the ones where anybody can register without having to meet any eligibility requirements. One of them obviously being co.za, which is our biggest by far second level domain in terms of the number of domain names or website names registered. And then you also have web.za and others. Now, the key players who are involved in managing the namespace, .za, South Africa's internet namespace, obviously it's ourselves as the regulator. We are in ECT Act, NDT, Chapter X, and that's our responsibility. We deal also with government, sorry, this slide still refers to DOC, it should be DDBS now. And then we are certain level domain operators, registered with 1,000 registrants. That's a typical, what you call a registration value chain, where somebody registered a domain name in .za, or in our second level domains. We have first the domain name holder, the registrant, who then conducts a registrar, who then register a name. With a registrar operator in those second level domains there. And then pretty much oversees that interaction between these three layers in terms of evolution, in terms of setting standards, in terms of setting prices. One of our key highlights so far, I think it was the place especially when we got the timetable from this committee, was that we need to come and present about our the highlights of what we do and the challenges and opportunities. We just take the last sort of few years where we started to do a lot more work. I think our major output that we made was especially in 2007 and 2008, when we released a policy for the future of .za and how it allows that .za should be run, which would be the role of different players in the domain name registration chain. That was followed in 2009 and 10. That policy gave the basis of what was called the license and regulations, because in terms of the ECT Act, we are supposed to license the registries, that is the second level domain operators and the ISPs that register names in there. So we released those regulations for registry and registrar licensing. We then had to put that process in abeyance effectively when we received not one but two legal opinions from the state law advisor. And also, I think we also received a third one, which was an independent legal opinion that we did ourselves. And what became clear from that opinion, from those three opinions, was that we have the act that stands gives us substantial insufficient licensing mandate, and that it was not very feasible to license under that regime in the sense that we could license people, but we didn't have any power to regulate and to enforce what we had licensed them to do. So we were advised to await the amendment of the ECT Act, and in the meantime, to pretty much work with the industry based on agreements and what is in the best interest of the industry. And we must say that we have not been crippled by that. We've been able to work with the industry and come to good solutions for doing regulating the space. In 2010, we embarked on what was called the Central Registry Benchmarking Study. That was an output for us, because it, the Central Registry concept, which back then, I think 2008, announced in Parliament by the then Minister of Communications during their budget vote speech as a directive that we had received to institute. The purpose of the Central Registry is that it was meant, and it is still meant, to help us take the second level domain from different operators and allocate them to a single operator. This helps us, of course, with our regulations. It helps us also as well to make sure that the space is run according to acceptable standards that they can compete with the rest of the world. When we inherited the namespace, these operated, these seven level domains operated at different levels, were not hit with most of the operational standards that we saw. So that's the research that occupied it substantially from between 2010-2012. The outcome of it, of course, was the establishment of the Central Registry, an entity called the ZA Central Registry. And we established the Central Registry by appointing an already existing local layer, an entity that was already running through DOSHA. They were the only ones locally who had a commitment and resources to develop a kind of a system, a registry system that we required. So that entity in the Pharmacy was then transitioned into the Central Registry role in 2012. With the appointment of the Central Registry, ZEDNA became self-funding. Up until then, we had been receiving an annual seed funding from the Department of Communications to the tune of 1.5 million rands. So the Central Registry in 2012 meant that we would be able now to be paid from domain name fees, especially the CO.ZA domain name fees. So with that, with the appointment of the Central Registry, we started to explore other opportunities that exist in the domain industry. That was always the purpose of the Central Registry. It was to provide a center of operational excellence in terms of infrastructure, especially in Africa, to allow us also to play a leadership role in Africa. And when the opportunity to apply for what is called the new top level domains arose in 2011-12, ZEDNA worked hard with the West government, the Department of Communications, to take the support of the African Internet Community and then also the support of the African Union Commission for the ZEDNA Central Registry to be appointed to apply to ICANN for the right to establish a .African space. And we are glad to state once again that the ZEDNA Central Registry was accordingly endorsed by the African Union and has since applied to ICANN and obtained the right to establish South Africa. South Africa has not yet been established due to some administrative technicalities, but it should in the next few months. We also use the ZEDNA Central Registry again alongside South Africa to secure namespaces, additional namespaces for South Africa using the three key cities, those being Durban, Joburg, Cape Town. And the Central Registry also was given those rights to establish those namespaces. If you are in our industry especially, you may have read the news already that on the 1st of July, we launched the Durban, Cape Town, and Joburg namespaces. Other than that, specific to .3, we've been also focusing especially in the last initial year on clarifying the purpose of second level domains, all of them, .ZA. We prioritized .NET.ZA, .Web.ZA, and .ZA because those were earmarked for transition to the ZA Central Registry. We went through a detailed policy development process to develop the charter, what we call a constitution of the charter, that defines who is eligible to register in a particular second level domain. And those charters were finalized, what's in April this year, and we finalized NetZA and OctoZA charters in July this year. We then, with the charters, were able to relaunch these certain level domains because they had not been accepting registrations, except OctoZA obviously, but Net and Web were not accepting registrations, but now been launched to accept new registrations and people can apply now to get domain names or set names under those. I already mentioned the top cities that we launched them on the 1st of August for the ZEDNA Central Registry. We probably should mention some key principles driving the Central Registry because, as I said, it's been the key project that occupied us between 2010 and 2012. And sometimes questions have been asked, why the Central Registry? Why do you move second-level domains from different players to a single entity? And other than the benefits of, you know, global best practice kind of an infrastructure that we wanted, we wanted also to make sure that the existing assets and intellectual property, especially from the core side, was utilized to improve the namespace. It's important to say that the Central Registry was not just an change of an existing player, but was a total transformation of an entity, effectively establishing a new entity. It's a not-for-profit entity. Like ourselves, we're not-for-profit. We both work pretty much on a cost recovery basis, and also the domain name fees, the visualization related charges, are reflective of that because they are some of the cheapest you can find in the world. We obviously are committed to transfer the management of the operating capacity as well from different facilities to this particular entity, and then play the role that I mentioned earlier of providing leadership in Africa, both in terms of best infrastructure and also of thought leadership, and hence our success in line obtaining the South Africa appointment. So what are we currently doing? For the current year, we have four strategic priorities that both our board and our AGM approved. One focusing on policy and management. Policy obviously one entails the work on second level domains. We continue with the work of defining the charters for the other second level domains that we have not finalized. We'll also continue focus on operational excellence that includes enhancing our infrastructure, setting standards for our operators that they must adhere to, including security standards for the domain name databases. We're also working on building an inclusive domain name market. This goal is important for us in the sense that our internet industry has remained sort of a closed kind of an industry with a small group of people that wherever you go, you still see them, you see those same faces. Also, if you look at it within the ISP market or what you call internet service providers market, you realize that again, it's still rotating pretty much around the central group of people. So we would like to see more people participating in the industry. We would like to see more people not only just registering domain names, we want to see more people, especially the youth, taking advantage of the entrepreneurial opportunities that exist in our industry. And we want to work with different layers and also to have capacity building programs so that people can participate in domain registration. And the fourth one is on supporting the internet governance debate, which I won't cover in any detail, but if you follow newspapers, you know that there's a lot of rambling going on oversight of the internet, who runs the internet, why this particular entity, why this particular government. So we are supporting what is going on there, but it's important to say that we are not a position-making entity. We are required in terms of the ECJ to advise the Ministry of Telecommunications as and when they require our advice. But we participate in this forum and come back when it needs to be to report to government about what we think it should be to catch their attention. I mentioned already that the current projects include developing charters for other second levels, in, like you heard to .za, .gov.za, .law.za, and others. The .cities, the .kz and Durban and Joburg launched on the 1st. They are still in early phase. We are working hard to support the project so that it becomes a success. I think it's also important to mention at this point that the .cities, we position them to be complementary to .za, not to be seen as competition. Of course, the project that is funded from the .za proceeds. We also want them as well to be local alternatives to .za. In the domain name industry, you can never say to a business or to a person, don't register. You cannot say other than to register a website name or brand name just in one name space. It's unfortunately the reality that if you have a brand or a trademark, you must try to register it across as many top-level domains as possible. Because if you don't, then they are cyber spotters, they are IP abusers that will take advantage of your name. But what is important is that they are registered on .za or they are registered on .cities because .cities are, you will say, effectively sisters to .za and they are again an investment in local internet infrastructure. South Africa, we are overseeing that, and then we have a marketing analysis campaign that is just about to start. The Act requires us to create awareness about the importance of domain names and the benefits that flow from there. So we'll soon be covering different channels, teaching the public about our role about the domain names and the importance, especially for e-commerce as well. I mentioned internet governance, and then we also have now current the program market research that we'll be conducting later in the year, and we'll announce the results thereof early next year. Then as an entity, it's quite a fairly small entity with a flat organizational structure. As you can see from the slide, then you have a board of directors that has its own committees, and then you have the CEO, and then you have those functional divisions population regulation, technical ops, marketing and communications, and finance and admin. We see opportunities as, in closing, we see opportunities obviously for both us and our government and internet governance debate that is ongoing now. We've been working already with the Department of Telecommunications to start to define positions and what is in the interest of South Africa in terms of how the internet is run or the future of the internet. We think that will allow not just Ghana but South Africa to play a leadership role, especially in Africa. Because inevitably there tends to be a standing expectation that South Africa will provide leadership on what Africa should be saying in these internet governance forums. We want to increase the number of people getting into the internet, especially registering .jrns, because if they do, it means we are growing. And if they register in .jr instead of .com, it means the money that comes out of the circulation local instead of it going to America. I mentioned capacity building, registrar, self-training that we want to implement in the near future as well. And then also working with government to develop what we call a national domain strategy, mainly because there will be future runs of new top-level domains like Cape Town and others, and maybe calls have already been made to us to securize, to establish your .housing, your .ea for Eastern Cape, your .mpumalanga and so forth. So we are following that process to see whatever happens, but we think there should be some strategy or guideline that at least will guide us in the future how we should handle these things. That, Madam Chair, is all that we have. We'll be able to take questions.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to open for members to interact with the presentation here and from Honorable McKenzie. Members, any other sense? Honorable Marshall Goh. Okay. Honorable Jean? That one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Gaja, knowing a little bit about your history, I can only think that the DA's policy of fit for purpose is applied perfectly in this regard, and congratulate you on your appointments. That's word perfect. In terms of the, and thank you, CEO, for your presentation, it's very informative. Please explain the funding model for me and how the money that you derive from registration is shared amongst the various players. I have an email address, I guess the domain name that I've registered, and I pay my wife and she does this thing, but I'd be interested to know where that money goes. And secondly, who sets the domain name fees? And on what basis are these increased annually, and what sort of guidelines to use, or what sort of benchmarks to use to increase these fees? And then thirdly, the cyber squatters, I found that a very informative term. Given that we're rolling out city networks, province networks, I would imagine for a large company, let's say ABSA, for example, that it would create a tremendous burden for them now to run around and register ABSA in each of these provinces and each of these cities and any of these other networks or domains just before a cyber squatter gets in there first. So is there any sort of protection for existing brand names that can be used to give them an opportunity when these additional domains are rolled out so that cyber squatters don't, in fact, take up occupation, and that if somebody does, and let's say me, for example, in my small little domain, I suddenly realize that in Durban, in Cape Town, Gauteng, people have registered my domain name, unaware to me. Is there any chance or any recourse that I can actually get that back without paying this cyber squatter a huge amount of money to move off my domain? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you, Dr. for the presentation. Please excuse my ignorance. I come from a typewriter age, and so I think Honorable McKenzie has covered me in quite a number of the issues that he raised. One of the other things I wanted to know is, for instance, talking of the .za, and we have a lot of us who are on gmail.com, so it's definitely not .za. So how do we ensure that that money that goes to Com or probably the relationship, maybe you'll explain to me, that we are on whatever does that say that we are. And also part of patriotism, you know, that so how to do it, and especially as a public service. The issue of protection, like Honorable Mackenzie spoke of, is something else I wanted to raise. You know, you link it and link of the issue of the suffering that there was a court case that somebody has registered this name, it belongs to him, so Safa must I that name from him and so forth. So on the doctorate issue, how do you ensure that protection? And then the cyberspace escorters, I know that in South Africa we've got very limited legal representatives in this area of cyberspace. And so do you have enough legal representatives that ensures work with yourselves that all these domain names that you are able, you are registering, that they will be the protection, take into account that not many legal people we have in that particular area. And on the issue of public education, so that the public have some roadshows on this domain name, because young people are very interested in that. The issue of phishing, so if you could tell us about that, and lastly, take into account that it is a concerted effort to move and ensure that every school child has got an iPad. Will we have enough capacity to roll out to every school-going child in the Republic, and adding ourselves also thereof? Thank you, Chair. For now, I'll end my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. I'm a little concerned with the lack of transparency on your website. You've got no idea from the website who the board is. There's no list of board directors. There's also no list of who the chief operating staff are. So I think that for an internet agency, that transparency should be there. Then the last time you were before us, you were talking about a major investment in your IT systems. And that was why some of your fees were going up. One of the things is that transition to your new systems has been completed, and whether there's been any further resistance from your members to the fees that you were going to be, I think your fees were lower to try and encourage them to move across or some such thing. I'd like to recall what that was. If you can just go up to that, how that transition has gone. And then also I'd like a little bit of explanation on what is happening in the internet governance space that you are involved in, and whether you are presenting or participating in the conference in Turkey next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member. Just, I think we'll get into the different. From my side, as the chair, one of the things just to check with the entity is starting. Should Parliament have the dominion that is got when it's a separate entity? Shouldn't Parliament, because it's not a separate entity, it's another arm of the state. It's not under government. Because currently the way it's reflected, you say that Parliament is another entity of government, because it says Parliament or Gov today. Shouldn't there, to show separation of powers, shouldn't it be standing alone? Has that thought come through? Then the other issue, maybe it might link with what other honourable members have done, but from their place around where people take over their own other people's domain names and all the things. What mechanisms do you have in place? Do you have like awareness campaigns? Do you have anything that you're running, especially where one is worried is where abuse of domain names is used for criminal purposes, for example? How do you assist the public to understand what is it that has got us. I think Honorable McKenzie has even speaking about recourse, but it's not. But are we into awareness programs we have that are able to explain to members of the public when they have this dominion? Then another issue is, my interest again is on the youth, because this is a category in our society that can serve the grist of technology and all that. And are there any activities that you have or strategies in place to ensure active participation of young people within the research? Whether you're running anything, any program, any engagement, so that at least we get to have. But I think broadly as well, I got to know about the NGPs and the telecom community. Just understanding, making sure that the public understands and knows about this entity, about what it does, its role. That for me is another issue. If you can just clarify that for me, or just we have that conversation. No particular order you would respond, up to each person, how you direct your delegation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will ask my co-directors and our CEO to help me respond to many of these issues that have come up. I'd like to make a high-level commentary. The one is that our role is managing what we call the name and number space. That means we manage the actual domain name and make sure that the domain name is available and accessible at all times. And that is our mandate under the ECG Act. There are a number of related issues around Internet, which really we have no jurisdiction whatsoever, and we have no mechanism to influence, dictate, or control, or manage in any shape, form, or size. So issues like phishing, issues like cyber squatting, many of these issues are difficult for us to deal with, notwithstanding when we introduce new domains, we do have mechanisms to deal with it. And I'll come back to that EFSA example. The second principle, which is often difficult to deal with, is that there are domain names that are moderated, and there are domain names that are open. Now, not anybody can register the name under gov.za, for example. So that's moderated. Similarly with law.za. But COZA, anybody can register. Now, when it comes to open domains, the global practice is one of first come, first served. So whoever registers any name under .co.za then become the rightful owners of that domain. And it's extremely difficult to apply any influence over that. Largely, the manner in which registrations are done, they are largely automated. So when somebody submits an application, for example, zna.co.za, I'll just take that as an example. That's an automated process. So it's not as if somebody sitting on the other side receiving an application, considering it, and then registering it. So registration is an automated basis. However, under the ECT Act, we do have an entity called the Alternate Dispute Resolution Mechanism, and this mechanism allows those who are aggrieved of having their brand or trade name or name being occupied by a cyber squatter. Before the ADR mechanism, it cost enormous amount of money to introduce a dispute, and you have to take this through a court. Now we have a mechanism whereby a aggrieved party can table their issues, and through an arbitration process, the final decision
by the arbitrator as encompassed by the Act is final, and therefore the relevant party then has to give up the domain to whoever is rightfully claiming that domain. We've had a number of very, very successful decisions from major corporations, from many companies and individuals who have successfully disputed the names. Particularly, Telkom has been very active in disputing a number of registrations. So, I'm just trying to underline the principles of how DMS works. Mike, being our treasurer, I'll ask him to deal with the financial issues that have been raised.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honourable members. On the question of how the financial model works, and the CEO to some extent described the value chain in his presentation, so maybe just to go into a bit more detail. So, for example, you apply to a housing company for a name. You type it in, it comes back as available, and you proceed. They would charge you an annual amount, or for that matter, they might bundle it in to your housing fees. So you have a fee to set up a website for the year, you pay them 500 Rand a year, they claim that they're giving you a free domain, but actually it's bundled into the price. So that price you pay to the to the entity often is a reseller, it may be a registrar itself, and that we do not regulate. What we regulate is the wholesale price that the registry, the database operator, offers to the retailers, the registrars, and they then in turn may have resellers underneath them. Typically we're seeing prices in the region of 100 to 200 Rand. It's not much more than that up there in the market. Some people obviously charge more, some would bundle it as a free service. The price paid through to the central registry is an amount of 35 Rand. In turn, they pay a fee to us as the regulator, which we use for our operations. It's a very similar model that's used in most countries in the world. Certainly in the generic space, it's a very similar model. And it allows for a competitive environment at the same time to ensure the stability and the security of the domain name system. So we ensure that there's enough money for us to continue to operate, for the central registry to operate, but then the retail site is able to actually integrate and offer competitive and innovative services, bundling names with hosting, with email, with other services. And that turns to Member Makepa's question. Sorry, you're very behind me. In terms of how we deal with the question of ensuring that money doesn't flow internationally. And it's not just to the US, but depending on what name and where the registrar is of that name, it could be anywhere in the world. The first thing is trying to promote a local industry. So we do have some registrars in South Africa who don't just register their own names, but also register these international names. So the first thing is to try and promote them, because if you really do want a .com or a .music or a .food, then rather get it from somebody in South Africa so at least some of the money stays there. But your point is well taken, and it's one of the reasons that we're going to be spending a fair amount of money on marketing, is to make people aware that ZA is their home and that they should be proud to be under ZA. At the same time, this is a global environment and it's something that we can't prevent people. And for that matter, using gmail.com, you're promoting Gmail services every time you put out a Gmail address or you give somebody your Gmail address, you're promoting Google and their services. The truth is you don't pay for it. It's a free name that's given to you, but you're promoting the same way as you, if you use so-and-so at Telkom SA or MTN, or if you're using your service providers, it's given by your service provider, you're advertising them. Not dissimilar to when you wear a shirt with somebody else's logo, you really are advertising them. So it's part of the reason for this marketing and awareness campaign. You don't need a name, but if you want to set yourself, your business, your personality, your view, your body, your community, then having a name and using that name as an identifier is a very useful way to do it. And we want people to become more aware of what hopefully that means is that our registrars and our resellers get more active in building services around that, so that you can simply go and say, fine, I'll fill in my name, I get it, but then I have my email, my website hosting, all of that as a package. I don't need the technical capability to put all of that together.
Just on the question of cyber squatters, I did mention that there's a mechanism when we introduce a new domain to make sure that it's available to legitimate trademark holders or brand names. So I'll ask Ika to just take us through the process of how we introduce to new domains.
Thank you, sir. I'll probably answer a couple of questions at once, hopefully if I don't, I'll be I'm open to hearing them. I think when it comes to the new domains, the organization that was made about APSA and how do you tell the forces APSA to register brand across all these new domains. Admittedly, companies have a headache with how they deal with that. It's largely outside our hand as well, and I think that's outside today, outside our hand. But it must be said, though, that for starters, there are at least 1,300 new top-level domains that are in the process of entering the Internet. And it's important that a business or an organization, from a strategy, defines where it wants to protect itself. I mentioned there that we normally don't tell the public or people not to register .com names, but we tell them to register .za as well and to trade on .za because that carries the brand or that carries South Africa. But you cannot tell them don't register .com because if they don't, then somebody else is going to register it. And that may amount to a trademark abuse. The same expectation also is now increased with the 1,300 new top-level domains. You get your .music, your .bank, your .fashion, your .hotel, you know. So it is important for APSA or any other entity to decide which namespace is to protect itself, in. And if it doesn't, it is possible that somebody else may register APSA. But there are, as it has said, dispute resolution mechanisms in place that allow APSA then to lodge a dispute and get its name back. We must also say that in the areas we're launching the 3 top level domains. And also the fourth one, to Africa by the central registering. That ICANN, this entity that gives you the rights to establish these namespaces, has clear requirements in place in terms of allowing trademark owners or businesses or brand owners an opportunity to submit their marks for registration at ICANN so that they get a first of advantage to register their names before anybody else can, before it becomes publicly available. So that's pretty much what we have. We also had a similar process for the 3 cities in South Africa to allow trademark owners to submit their marks to us before we open. I think so that would be what I would say.
Can I ask Mr. Masilela just to briefly mention Landrush and Sunrise processes in terms of the trademark protection, and if you can just talk about the plagiarism elements and the capacity issue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair of the Chairs. The rights protection mechanism that we use currently to ensure that names don't get stolen, and you would notice that org.za, net.za, web.za have been relaunched, and they've been relaunched using this rights protection mechanism whereby we have a period that we call Sunrise. This is where all marks, all names that are reserved or protected are validated before the applicant can be allocated that name. So the initial process, you place an application and it's held away and it's validated to assure or to ascertain that that name does belong to the applicant. After the period of application, this is when the name is finally released to that applicant, when the whole process has satisfied itself that indeed that applicant is the rightful owner of that mark or that domain name. So that system or that process is in place. Sunrise and Landrush would be all the premium names for other reasons, but these are the key things that we're putting in place to ensure that names are not stolen from the rightful people. That's the mark validation process. Now, if I may add, the chairperson was talking about the child and one laptop per child. It is worth mentioning right now that we have a campaign we've been running very strongly, pushing to ensure that not only does the child have a laptop, we are saying to ourselves, now that you have Facebook, now that you have Twitter, now that you have what any other social website or site, you do not have a domain name. The campaign is to ensure that each child must have a domain name, or a citizen of this country must have a domain name. A week ago in Chesterfield, we provided connectivity to the school there in Chesterfield for 1,000-plus learners, and we also allocated an email address for each learner at that school. So each child in Chesterfield today, Chesterfield High, would have an email address that would be, if the child is SLEPO, it would be SLEPO@chesterfieldhigh.durban. And this is using the new series of GTL, this is the Geo Top Level Domain Names. And it is worth stating that this is the first of its kind on the continent that this thing is used, .durban. And I am even bold enough to say it's the first in the world that the school uses the new streams of GTLD. So they should be very proud of this achievement. And we are looking to do more and provide more of these email addresses to the schools and ensure that schools do have web sites that are very relevant to their provinces or around the campaign of the top cities. Thank you, Chair.
Just on the capacity issue, well, we have enough capacity to deal with all these new domains and as the question asked.
Thank you. We do have capacity, especially the plan right now, the layout is on IPv4. Globally, we are running short on the namespace and allocation, but we are now migrating into IPv6. The new GTLDs that we have currently, your Durban, .Ktown, and .Joburg, are running on both IPv4 and IPv6, so we have sufficient capacity to take in the entire country, ensure that the entire country is connected and do have email addresses, and they move away from .com. Even though our CEO is a little bit careful in insinuating that people can continue and use .com, we are not comfortable in a way forward. We would like to see citizens of South Africa all using .co.za, or .durban, or .ktown, and going forward. The chair asked about .gov, if Parliament must continue using that. We would leave that. I think once the charter is developed to address that, it would be something that is doable, and the capacity is available to create another domain name specifically for Parliament, you know, .parliament.za. Thank you.
There was a question about our fees, and they were high and now they're low. So I just want to clarify something. When we established the central registry, we also established a new technical mechanism for people to register domains. And I think it's a little footnote on the class presentation, something called the EPP system. And that's because we have now formalized the channel in which people can register their names. And the fee has actually come down from 50 Rand to 35 Rand as the wholesale price. And the impression that the 35 Rand comes to us is also not accurate. The 35 Rand is shared between the central registry and ZETA. And that is what is charged out to the ISPs, like Internet Solutions or anywhere. And they're obviously on charge. So the fees have come down in reality, not literal. And the second issue is that there may be a bit of confusion of moving from the old system to the new system. And to encourage people to move to the new system, we raise the fee on what we call the legacy system. And that was done to achieve two things, is to enhance the automation of registrations, and secondly, to get registrants to work through intermediaries like the ISPs. So that uptake, the question was asked, how's the IT investment going? It's been more than successful. The rate at which people have moved from the old system to new system totally surprised us and our budget. So where they were paying 75 rand, now they have the option of paying 35 rand. So that's been the impact. So I think that covers most of the questions I've been asked.
That's one thing for me. I said delegation is male dominated. Do you have board members who are there? Or any capable women in the institution?
They say females are the hard workers, so both our female board members are not available today, Madam Chair. We have two females. We have a board of 9 members.
I'm Nanzoshana. So 2 out of 9.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. No, it's fine. We'll deal with that with the minister directly.
Madam Chair, before we close, could I ask your indulgence? William has just want to make a few remarks.
Okay, very brief. First of all, you started the work session, Chair, by self-introductions, and as a blind person, that helps one to locate, identify voices. I appreciate that. That should always be done. I thought I'd mention this. I serve on the board of the National Library of South Africa, and as part of the 20 years of democracy celebration, we decided to list 20 achievements in these 20 years. And I think if you were to do this in government and in South Africa, our achievement in the internet space would be one of those. That we've got an accessible, affordable, equitable internet, and particularly being from the disability constituency, the value it has for us, extending from people with Locke syndrome, deaf persons, and of course blind or disabled persons. I just thought I'd make that celebratory remark. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do try from our side. Okay. Members, we have another presentation that we need to take. I'm going to allow both of you a minute each. No, 2 members, a minute each. Can I press you? I'll give you more time on the next presentation. I'm not on my phone. Dr. McKenzie, a minute or even a second.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'll be very brief. Just in terms of internet regulation regarding mail from spammers and that kind of thing, how is it possible that somebody with an fnb.co.za domain name can send an email asking me to update my security details, even if I press return to send, it comes up as fnd.co.za. That's just a general question. Thank you.
As I mentioned, there are many issues around the internet that we're not able to influence, manage, or regulate. So we provide a naming mechanism, and there are a number of issues that need to be dealt with, and I think we're in constant discussion with government on how we deal with that, and that falls under the broad cybersecurity space. But technically, all of the things that do occur are possible technically, and unfortunately, it's the bane of having an open internet system. So I guess if we leave our doors open to our homes, anybody can walk in. And then it's exactly the same with the internet.
Thank you, Chair. Half a second. I didn't get on the issue of the roadshows or public education, not just for young people, but even for older people.
My follow for a second.
Got a second to add what the Honourable Masego said, especially rural. People in rural areas, how do you make sure that they know about this? Thank you, Chair.
Very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair. I mentioned that there have been what we call an education awareness campaign that will commence as next week, and it's intended exactly to address that. So far in the past, we've been in the new sort of big cities, but we will be working on the new campaign through different channels in each province and start doing radio and print media. Educational stuff, which is people about their rights about domain names. Why is it important for a business of a domain name, and why should it be subsidized? It should be targeted to the youth, it should be targeted to the public, to all stakeholders. Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I'm
budget for marketing and awareness has gone up very significantly.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the delegation together with us and all. Really appreciate the interaction. We are going to interact with you again this year. We've got our annual performance assessments that are coming up. Obviously, the committee secretary are going to communicate with you when we do assessment of performances. So we really appreciate this. And unfortunately, we couldn't interact at the time we were going to deal with projects. That's why we felt important that we have this engagement. We understand how we work as the committee, but also understand how we work. And obviously, this is in the base that we continue to interact. Minister, I need to apologize. I did a very huge mistake, not allowing you to comment on this one. Normally, I allow the minister to start opening or even closing. Maybe if you have any...
That was an order because of time constraint. All what I can say, with Nathan's your concern, very mind by you, but you inherit everything. On the issues which pertain to the legislative clarity, those are the things which will come in the Amendment Act. Which are still being processed at the government level. It may not be time to pass, but they are still quite far. Thank you.
Thank you very much to the delegation, and I'm going to request the delegation of future to come forward so that they can fight. Members can take just 2 minutes to raise their legs so that they start. Or 5 minutes, yeah. 5 minutes, just to get everybody. Thank you.